This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
All right, here we go on a Saturday morning. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. We're by Insperity HR that makes a difference. Nice to have you aboard with us on a Saturday morning. Charlie, great to be with you at the halfway point of the 105th PGA Championship, my friend.
It's an exciting day. It's been a great week of golf. The PGA Championship is one championship that I hold dear to my heart because the association that I've belonged to for over 50 years, the PGA of America, is the host organization that runs this event all over the country. And Oak Hill is one of the great venues of golf and of championships, as we see. What a golf course, huh?
Unbelievable. I mean, last year, you know, Southern Hills was great with JT prevailing in a playoff over Will Zalatoris, but the PGA, you know, especially led by Seth Waugh, has just done an incredible job going to an incredible venue each and every year. You know, the USGA, Charlie, had a couple hiccups with Chambers Bay and Aaron Hills. It just seems like PGA of America on a yearly basis does not miss, and you know, I think Paul McGinley summed it up great last night. You know, he said, McGinley said that he would come over here as a player, and the U.S. Open would just be impossible for him. But the PGA Championship is usually a standard PGA Tour golf course with maybe a little more rough. I think it's even a step tougher than that this week, Charlie.
No, I kind of a little disagree with him, as we can see that length of the rough this week and the difficulty of the golf courses and of the golf course itself, the redo of this golf course. They stretched it out because of the golf ball, and they're playing a lot of par fours that are 500 yards long, and with the wind and rain can come and go up there in Rochester, New York, and I'm not sure exactly what weather we're going to see, but so far weather has played an important part in this championship.
Well, I think you could see someone from 6, 7, 8 back, including Rory. You know, Rahm's 4 over. I think that's a bit of a stretch. But let's not forget, Charlie, Justin Thomas was 7 shots back of the lead heading into Sunday at Southern Hills last year. And I think if it rains today, I think there's a 64 or 63 out there come tomorrow. What do you think?
I agree with you. These pros can get hot with the putter and you know, hit a few more fairways, one being Rory McIlroy. He might break out of his slump this weekend. You never know. But it's going to be an exciting 36 holes of golf and see who's going to be crowned the PGA champion for 2023.
We have a ton to discuss today. We'll briefly review how last week's Byron Nelson in Dallas and Live Tulsa wrapped up. We'll give you some background on the legendary golf course that Oak Hill is, you know, from Lee Trevino's second U.S. Open in 68 to Jack's fifth Wanamaker Trophy in 1980 to Jason Duffner's Cinderella story in 13. This course has really seen it all. We have a lot to unpack there, Charlie.
Yes, we sure do. It's going to be a fun hour being with you, and I'm up here in beautiful Montana, except we're getting all the smoke from the forest fires in Canada coming south.
Well, you know, it's the last week here, ton of rain, starting to get a little prettier, but the humidity's rolling into Texas full force. Speaking of Texas, Charlie, last week, you know, one of your favorite players, one of mine as well, a guy who's been grinding to get back to the top of the game for a long time, Jason Day, won his first PGA Tour title in 5 years. Scheffler finished a couple back, but you know, 35-year-old Jason Day, he's played 16 events this year already. Finally got through in the winner's circle, where he actually won for the first time about 12 years ago. I thought for a weaker field, Charlie, great outcome of that tournament.
Oh, it was a wonderful outcome. It was a great tournament. The guys were really making a lot of business. And it's entertaining for the gallery, and the Craig Ranch is a golf course, but it's a championship golf course like we're seeing happening this week. Honoring the great Byron Nelson, gentleman golfer for so many years, and now they honor him every year in this tournament in his honor. But Jason Day found a way back, and that's a great example of perseverance. A young man who had reached number one in the world, and because of certain things in life that happened, number one are physical accidents, you know, lifting weights, and it hurt his back. But now he's back. He looked like he was going to make the this week, but he didn't. But it was a great victory by Jason.
Well, you know what's interesting, Charlie, is I've never heard of someone doing this in preparation for a major, but Jason Day didn't play any practice rounds at Oak Hill, noting that resting up would serve him better. And you know, I understand Day finished eighth at the 2013 PGA Championship at Oak Hill, so he's familiar with the property. But this is a golf course that changed a ton in 2019. There's barely any notes left from Donald Ross's original 1926 design. Why would they elect not to see the golf course prior to the first round?
Well, you know, they're already prepared. They've already played a lot of golf this year. Cabrera, when he won the U.S. Open at Oakmont in 2007, he played nine holes because he came over from Europe, you know, and he preferred to get acclimated with the timing and so on and so forth, and he played four holes a day. But these guys know how to play the golf courses and one that's in front of them. The practice rounds are so slow, they're counterproductive. And these guys are like race horses. They want to get out of the gate fast, and they want to get, you know, they don't want to wait around and 6 hours on the golf course when you're getting ready to play a major championship.
Yeah, we'll see Jason Day next week. You know, PGA, his 17th event of the year. He already has seven top 10 finishes. You know, of course, this is a guy who's battled back from back injuries over the years. So I guess you could use that to understand taking a couple more days to rest. Charlie, let's finish up this review from last week. Because there's a couple live golfers at the top of the leaderboard of the PGA Championship, Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau. They go off together at 2:30 today. But Liv Tulsa at Cedar Ridge had a better-than-most finish last Sunday as far as live events are concerned. We talked last week about how, you know, besides Brooks Koepka winning in Orlando a week before Augusta, these live golf tournaments have had very little substance and very uneventful finishes with winners such as Danny Lee or Taylor Gooch. You know, as a golf nut, I can get behind those caliber of winners. But Carl in the clubhouse, you know, could care less about a Taylor Gooch or a Danny Lee, Charlie.
Well, you know, it's going to take them time. They're hanging in there. They're playing their events. They're correcting some of the mistakes they've made. They're doing it. They're all. There's plenty of money on that side of the ledge for golfers on the game. So we just got to get time let the smart people figure this all out. I think there's room, just like there's a National League and a American League in baseball, and there's this thing in football. I think all that can support more professional golf. The people want it, and I think it'll come around.
Yeah, I mean, you know, last week in Tulsa, a very exciting fit. I mean, you had Dustin Johnson, you had Open champion Cam Smith, and Brandon Grace in a playoff. DJ made a gutsy birdie on the final round of regulation and then backed it up with another birdie on 18 to beat Smith and Grace's par. So, Charlie, on paper, Liv Tulsa should have been a tournament that was watched by millions because nearly every player that the Saudis invested in was in contention. You know, you had Bryson DeChambeau up there. You had Brooks Koepka up there. Eugenio Chikara, who's one of the youngest players on that tour. Bubba Watson. And there was one problem that came up. Did you happen to read about it, Charlie?
What was that?
Well, the fact is, no one saw Dustin Johnson's 18th hole nor the playoff. And CW, Liv Tulsa, the final round went about 30 minutes past the CW's paid programming time. So they shut the Liv off. And basically ran Family Feud and Nancy Drew for, you know, while that playoff was wrapping up. So no one saw it.
You know, they did that on the Champions Tour back when the Champions Tour didn't have a network signal to put their product out, and so they're going to have to make a deal with one of the networks, television wise, and spend some money to get their product on the right channels, and so the people can get to it.
Yeah, I was interested to ask you that, Charlie, because every week on the PGA Tour, you know, pace of play right now, 5 hours, 5.5 hours. These tournaments are running long, but NBC and CBS, they always push back the time to allow viewers to watch the end of the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, they have total control. The other networks are, you know, because it is the new boy on the street, they've got to go back to their regular programming to make their money. So it'll all...
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Leading the PGA Championship, Scottie Scheffler, Corey Connors, and Victor Hovland in a tie for the lead at 5-under. Charlie, on the other side, we'll get to the top leaderboard. For now, how about a quick word from our friends at Insperity?
It has been so successful, and here's their motto: empower your business with Insperity. As a leading HR solution provider, they are all about your HR needs and supporting your business growth. Supporting is really the important thing. They will support you in growing your business with customized service. Give Insperity a shout. Meet with them. Let them understand what your goals are, but some of your problems, and they will help you through all of this minutia that HR needs. But
listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
All right, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Nice to have you with us on a Saturday morning. Last segment we reviewed the Byron Nelson and Liv Tolson. In case you missed that, you can find the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN975.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcast. Charlie, as I've watched the PGA Championship the last 2 days, it continues to amaze me how professional golf doesn't go to courses like Oak Hill on a yearly basis. I mean, first off, the layout at Oak Hill, it's one of the best in the country. And secondly, people are so much more entertained when these guys are actually penalized for bad shots. I mean, this 4-inch rye bluegrass fescue that players are forced to hit out of if they miss a fairway this week is something we need to see more often.
Well, that's why the majors are different from the standard tournaments. Just like the intensity of a World Series, the NBA playoffs, the intensity of the four major championships, and all four of them have different characteristics. The Masters in spring has weather, and it has a great golf course with great traditions, and now that you move to the PGA, and they like to move this championship around the country to grow the game, whether it be in Rochester, New York, or in California, or Houston, Texas.
Yeah, now that it's in May, they can come down. So, they can come down to Texas.
Yeah, but looking at the broadcast this morning, I see Mickelson playing with some gloves on, and it's cold and damp. They took this tournament from the midsummer of August, and they moved it to May. And these northern courses are going to have weather like this, so it's good. But with the weather challenge, with the rough, with the greens, the Oak Hill has been such a great golf course off over the years. You know, Lee Trevino, the great Lee Trevino. In 1968, he was the first player in the history of the PGA to have four scores under 60, under 70. That just shows you how good he was. And then Nicklaus. But then in 2003, an unknown won the championship, Sean McKeel, and then Jason Duffner. So, you can expect anything to happen this weekend. We're going to see somebody win that we really don't know that much about. That could happen. Victor Hovland, I think he's got a chance at doing come out and win his first major championship.
No doubt. I mean, you have guys up there who have not done it in the big moment yet. Corey Connors, of course, we know him well. He's won the Valero Texas Open twice. Victor Hovland has won a couple times in Mayakoba, won at Puerto Rico, won Tigers tournament twice, beat Scottie Scheffler by a shot 2 years in a row in 2021 and 2022 at Tigers events. So Hovland, he knows how to beat the elite players, but can he get it done on this style of golf course, where if he starts missing some greens, do we see those chipping issues reappear that we saw last year? That's going to be the big question for Hovland. But just back to the course a little bit, Charlie, I wanted to mention the PGA Championship has no plans to return to Oak Hill in the near future. And I, as you just said, I understand the weather can be hit or miss in May and parts of the country as far north as Rochester. But, you know, there's no reason the USGA can circle back to Oak Hill soon. I mean, the U.S. Open is going to go to Shinnecock in 26 and Wingfoot in 2028. And Oak Hill, to be fair, it's hosted two U.S. amateurs, three U.S. Opens, three PGAs, two senior PGAs, and the 95 Ryder Cup. They've done all that since 1949. But, man, it's tough for me to swallow that we might not see this golf course, for, another 15 years. That doesn't seem right to me.
Well, it's just part of the growth of the game. I mean, yep. All over the country, we have look at L.A. Country Club is having its first major championship for professional golf, in this summer. And you got to have venues like that appear that they see the value of major championships and earning money and so on and so forth. So they just got to spread it around. It'll be back. Ryder Cup, or I'd like to see a Solheim Cup played up at Oak Hill. The ladies are they're getting in. They're playing the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach this year, first time ever. They can play.
We saw them at Inverness a couple years ago.
That's right. So they this can open it up in the U.S. Amateur. So it'll come. You got plenty of time. You're a young kid. You'll see it grow and go back to Oak Hills lifetime.
Now, Charlie, do the Scottie Schefflers of the world, do the Victor Hovlands, the Bryson DeChambeaus, do they prefer a birdie fest over a tough test?
Well, I can't answer for them, but okay. they just.
What about Angel?
Each golf course, Angel liked the hard golf courses. Angel liked the major championship. That's, two of his victories came late in life, but he won two major championships. A good player likes hard conditions, and the major championships will do that. They'll identify the best golfer at a major championship more times than not.
You've watched the first two rounds of this tournament, know the golf course well. This is a question that PGA Tour media, Golf Channel loves to ask, especially when we get around these tough U.S. Open and PGA Championship venues. Do you think a single-digit handicap would break 90 on this golf course this week at Oak Hill?
They would be lucky. they would be lucky. I mean, I've played in four major championships, two PGAs, two U.S. Opens. And I had I shot 76, 77. I had a 73 you got to really golf your ball under these conditions. And you can see I counted like eight major champions that didn't even make the cut this week. So, the golf courses are challenging. As you can get in, you better bring your game when you play in a major championship.
Yeah, we're going to talk about this a little bit more in depth here in a little bit. But, I mean, I was watching the end of the coverage yesterday, and Justin Thomas had to make a 10-foot bogey putt to make the cut. Jordan Spieth had to make a 12-foot par putt. Maybe it was a little bit more inside of that. Maybe it was more 7 to 8 feet. But he had to make a gritty putt to play the weekend. And I thought it was very entertaining. I thought, once again, it brought up to my mind that I don't want these cut lines to go anywhere. The 36-hole cut is such an entertaining halfway point. And I was sitting there going, man, if there wasn't some of these star players grinding out the cut line, how many fans would actually care about the play going on Friday?
Oh, that's a good question. You're into the game. You know it real well. But I think the average guy, you know, whoever's playing on the weekend are known players, and they've got enough with 40 or 50 players playing that, you know, just like at Augusta, one of the top majors, you know, 44 guys make the cut on the weekend, and nobody complains about that. It's better for the organizers. And then with the new money game, the PGA Golf Professional that has a tour card starts off with $500,000 in his pocket, and that's changed the whole scenario for the professionals. You know that they're getting paid without playing.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the success of Michael Block and a little bit more about the PGA professionals playing this week. But first, let's take a break from the golf to tell you more about my friends over at Brookside Equipment. Tom and Adam Belimovich are the great people who own 9 Houston locations, and it is the premier dealership for all John Deere equipment in Houston. Whether you're a homeowner, rancher, contractor, or institution, the Brookside team is there to provide you with the equipment solution and full service support you deserve. As far as golf is concerned, one of their partners is Houston Country Club, Whispering Pines Golf Club, which is the number one golf club in Texas, and includes Memorial Park Golf Course, which is home to the PGA Tour's Houston Open. And no matter your situation, Brookside has the deal you need. New or pre-owned equipment, parts, service, flexible payment plans, they have it all. Houston, Spring, Jersey Village, League City, Katy, Southwest Houston, Angleton, Hockley, and Conroe. Go see them at one of their 9 locations and visit their website at brooksideusa.com to check out any special deals at Brookside Equipment. Tell them you heard it right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 Houston. Once again, that is Brookside Equipment. And looking at the top of this leaderboard, Scottie Scheffler, Corey Connors, Victor Hovland in a 3-way tie at the top at 5-under. Justin Suh, Bryson DeChambeau, and a tie for 4th at 3-under. Bryson DeChambeau will go off at Brooks Koepka at 2:30. Don't miss that. We'll be right back here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Divine Sparity, HR that makes a difference.
Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Hi, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. 30 past the hour here on ESPN 97.5 Houston Sports Map Radio Network. Charlie, let's take a look at a few of these pre-tournament headlines and where they stand now. Number one, we were very interested in seeing how world number 3 Rory McIlroy was going to recover from a disappointing Masters. Charlie, he has not played well since, not even at Quail Hollow, where he's won 3 times in his career. And he's played a lot better over the last first 2 days. He could be better with the driver, but tied for 12th and 5 shots off the lead heading into the weekend. He's in this golf tournament.
Well, you know, it's very evident that off-course influences can really screw up your game, and whether it's family problems or business problems, and he's been taking on the responsibility of being the voice of the PGA Tour against LIV, and that has been led to some really great, you know, distractions. And a golf professional, when you get on the golf course, you don't want to have your mind off the golf course. And so I think he's getting it back. I thought yesterday was a great round of golf for him, and he's standing there in good position. He could go low this weekend, so he'll get it back. It just, it happens to all of the great ones over the years. You go through a slump, and he's definitely been in a slump.
He made a great birdie on 18 to get back to even par. He has an opportunity to win his third PGA Championship, too shy of tying Walter Hagen and Jack Nicklaus for the most PGA Championships won. I want to ask you one more thing about Rory. You know, he's mentioned that the issues have been with not only the putter but also the driver. He has a two-way miss and attributes it to an open face in the transition of his golf swing. What exactly happens when a club face is open on the way down in a golf swing, Charlie?
Well, he has such a big swing, and that he really, you know, gets the club in the backswing really behind him, and there's a lot of moving parts. It's not as efficient as some of the golf swings are today, and go back to Ben Hogan. So, you know, there's a little hand manipulation, and when all of a sudden, you know, you got that face open at the wrong time and your swing, you're trying to save the shot, and that's when that mind gets involved, and you get too conscious of what you're doing instead of just letting your golf swing swing and, you know, trying to accomplish what you visualize in the game. And that's how the great players play. They visualize the shot and then they execute it, and they don't have any conscience thoughts while they're playing golf. It's all subconscious.
Well, that's number one. Rory's number one. You know, he mentioned last night that he's just going to be hitting it as hard as he can off the tee, trying to play a little bomb and gouge around Oak Hill. I don't know how that fares in the 4-inch rough, but if anyone can do it, it's Rory. You know, leads the PGA Tour in distance. And that's number one. Number two is there was a little more expectation of Brooks Koepka coming into the PGA Championship. More expectation than he's had over the last year, I should say. And we just lost Charlie. We'll get back to him in a second. But on Brooks Koepka, that's because he won at LIV Orlando the week before the Masters. He went to Augusta and had a share of the 36-hole lead. Sunday didn't go how he wanted to, but he's kept playing well on LIV since. Third in Singapore and sixth in Tulsa. And Charlie, welcome back. We're talking Brooks Koepka right now. You know, I was just saying how, you know, he went to Augusta, you know, coming off a good win at LIV Orlando. Sunday didn't go how he wanted to at Augusta, but he's kept playing well since. Third in Singapore and sixth in Tulsa last week. You know, he's recovered from the knee injury he had to deal with last year. You know, he found out he was going to be a dad earlier this week. Charlie, we've seen how that has changed the perspective of many pro golfers over the years. So, you know, I think Koepka, it's fair to say this guy is back, you know, and if he can win one this week, we know how he can get on a roll.
Well, one thing about Koepka, he's honest, and as the day is long. And he said his only problem he had at Augusta, he choked. He got in the mix, and he had a chance, and all of a sudden he you know, became, you know, too involved in the game and should have just been Mr. Cool like he has in the past. So he was honest, and that's a great tribute to him being honest and come out and say that he just choked and that, you know, he could be a dangerous player this weekend. He's strong, he's straight, and looks like he's putting pretty good.
Yeah, he didn't get off to the best start this week. He fired two over in round one, but then he came back out yesterday and posted a 66 that was capped off by five birdies on his back nine. He had only made one in the opening 27 holes, so started to get something going there at the end. You know, while we're on Koepka, you know, we might as well discuss Bryson DeChambeau. He's going to go off with Koepka at 230. Now, he has not had the same trajectory as Brooks Koepka. He, since going to LIV, he has flat-out struggled. He has not won on LIV golf yet, but I think it's very positive, Charlie, to see him slimming down. You know, he's not eating burgers and milkshakes for every meal, a little more slim. You know, his body looks a lot like Tiger does right now, and he's playing some good golf, 66-71, two shots back heading into the weekend. Let's hear your thoughts on Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah, he's gone full circle with this eating, you know, binge he was on to become the, you know, longest driver and on the PGA Tour, and he accomplished that. But what he did also accomplish is a lot of injuries come with doing that much lifting and getting muscle bound, and all of a sudden, you know, you get too many muscles and they go out of whack. So I'm happy for him. I think his attitude is great. I think his swing looks really good, and he's hitting a lot of quality shots and putting very, very well. So it's great to have. Bryson was a shining star on the PGA Tour, and that's one reason why they paid him all that money, because the people love length and like to see, you know, he's kind of like the modern day John Daly, but much better shape.
Well, you know what's interesting is, as he mentioned, you know, Todd Lewis yesterday was asking him, you know, kind of reiterating that, hey, Brooks, you step up in the major championships. You know, do you care about the regular tournaments? Do they matter to you? And once again, he said, people don't remember PGA Tour wins. They remember major championships. I don't know. You know, I certainly get involved with PGA Tour wins with Tiger trying to break the record. How much do you look into that, Charlie? Is when he says that, I mean, to me, I mean, PGA Tour wins do matter. We're going to talk about Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth in a second. I love comparing those two. You know, Justin Thomas is now past Jordan Spieth in PGA Tour wins. I think it is something that matters.
Well, I think Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus and all of the greats are very proud of their wins on the PGA Tour. It's hard to win on the PGA Tour, and so they take every tournament that they play in very seriously. And so I don't think they discount a Houston Open or the LA. You know, they relish every championship and are proud of their play.
No doubt. I agree with that one 100%. Now, last one on these kind of pre-tournaments and how they stand now. Talking about the two favorites coming into the PGA, world number one, Jon Rahm, and world number two, Scottie Scheffler. They've won 5 of 9 elevated events this season. Scheffler's in a share to lead. Rahm shot 76 the first round. He made the cut by one. He's 4 over par. We'll be 9 back heading into the weekend. Let's start with Scheffler. He won the Players, defended his title in Phoenix, and has been trading punches with Jon Rahm all year as far as world number one is concerned. Always hits it great, and this is the difference this week. The putts are falling, Charlie, and that when the putts fall for Scheffler, he's a tough guy to beat.
Well, he's on a run, you know, ever since the Masters year where he broke out and started winning, and he's got such a great demeanor and attitude about the game. And then he's got a great coach, Randy Smith. and Randy just had a serious back operation. I'm having a serious voice loss. Hang on 1 minute.
No problem. We're going to take a quick break.
Let me
give you a couple more words and tell you about my friends over at the Swing Sound app, which you can find on the App Store or Google Play. One thing that all amateurs and weekend golfers struggle with is a consistent rhythm and tempo in their golf swing. You either swing the club too slow or too quick, especially under pressure when you have a big putt to win your weekend skins game or a late afternoon match against a buddy. And what Marius Filmotter, the founder of Swing Sound Golf, has figured out is that almost all bad golf shots are caused by bad tempo, because study results show that all good golfers share a common and consistent rhythm. Folks, do yourself a favor. Take control of your golf performance and establish your tempo by downloading the Swing Sound app, available for only $4 on the App Store or Google Play. When we come back, we'll hear more about Randy Smith from Charlie and get a swing tip from the golf doctor himself. Back after this.
Listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
All right, wrapping up here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour here on ESPN 975 Houston Sports Map Radio Network. Brought to you by Insperity HR that makes a difference. Charlie, how about first off, I think, you know, number one, Michael Block, PGA professional, top 15, T12 going into moving day at the PGA Championship. He's the first PGA professional to be in the top 20 through 36 holes at the PGA Championship. Some words on that, Charlie. This is a big accomplishment Every year we see some great PGA professionals competing at the PGA Championship. Rarely do we see one actually get in contention. It's going to be a fun weekend for Michael Beach. Michael Block.
Let me finish my thought about Randy Smith and Scottie Scheffler. They work hand in hand, a club professional and his teacher, and he's had a serious back operation, so we wish him well. There was a great club pro from Houston, Texas named Tommy Acock. He finished sixth in the PGA Championship. So there are great golf professionals that work at a club that play in this championship and have success. And the PGA of America is 28,000 strong golf professionals, male and female, all over the country working at the 10,000 clubs to grow this great game. And what this Michael Block is doing is just so refreshing for me, because here's a guy that works for a living and his hobby is golf. And my voice is really going bad. So, go right ahead. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, no problem there, Charlie. Cleared out. No worries at all. Michael Block, even par. Tied for 10th heading into the weekend. You know, he was getting emotional in his press conference yesterday. You know, he was talking about his students are back on the range in L.A. This is a guy who doesn't get to practice too often. Says if he's lucky, he gets to hit a bucket of balls per week, but he stays active on the course. He said he's lucky his boss has let him play a ton of golf. He's able to play with Bo Hosler and many other PGA Tour pros. So, we'll see how Michael Block fares this weekend. Either way, it's going to be a win. He made the cut. He's in great shape heading into the weekend. Looking at, two more guys that had a lot of anticipation heading into the weekend. Charlie, we talk about Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas in the same conversation a lot. They're best friends. They did their Netflix episode together. They played on Junior Ryder Cups together, and their careers have grown on similar trajectories for the most part. Spieth, his pro golf career got off to a much quicker start as far as majors are concerned. He won three majors in a very short amount of time. He also left college a year before Justin Thomas did, but now JT has won 15 PGA Tour events, and Spieth has won 13. So JT is passive in that regard, but both will forever come into the PGA Championship with pressure-packed expectations. Spieth, because it's the last major he needs to complete the Grand Slam, and JT because he's already hoisted the Wanamaker Trophy twice in his career. So they both came in here this week not 100%. JT struggled with his putting and iron play this year, and Spieth is battling a wrist injury. And Charlie, they both made big putts on 18 at Oak Hill to make the cut yesterday, and it was exciting to watch because one of them, if the course gets soft, one of them have the capabilities to fire a low one and possibly get back into this tournament. I mean, don't forget, five over, is 10 shots back of the lead. I know that's a long way to go, but it's not impossible.
No, it's not. Impossible at all. And I can't get my voice back. I don't know what the heck's going on. But they're both great young men. They're both playing really hard. And, when you play as much golf as they do, they're going to have injuries. They got to fight through injuries. They got to fight through disappointments. But they're such great examples. And I just wish them the best of luck.
No doubt, and we'll see what they fire today. We'll see what kind of opportunities they have, going into Sunday, especially after the weather. Scottie Scheffler, Corey Connors, and Victor Hovland lead the way. Scheffler is obviously the winningest player amongst those three. Six PGA Tour wins, a Masters tournament, and a Players for Scheffler, all in the resume. Corey Connors and Victor Hovland, they have a little more proven to do. They haven't quite won it on the big stage yet. Corey Connors has won the Valero Texas Open twice. Of course, the first came in 2019, where he had to Monday qualify into the action at TPC San Antonio before winning and getting into Augusta the next week. And Victor Hovland, a little bit more of a prodigy, still a very young player, 68, 67 to open the week. He's won three times. He's won Puerto Rico, and he won Mayakoba back-to-back. But this is still a player who has not quite got it done on the big stage. But he is coming around. You know, fourth at the 2022 Open at St. Andrews, and then he opens the major championship schedule with a seventh-place finish at the Masters. Charlie, we'll get a couple words from you here. I mean, Victor Hovland, if he didn't go through some severe chipping slump last year, chipping and pitching, you know, this might be a guy who could have possibly won the Open or even won the Masters a month ago.
Well, I think he said it really smart yesterday in that he said he's made some stupid shots, too aggressive, and he's got to play smarter and play for not go for all the pins. Sometimes he's going for pins that end up costing him. So if he plays smarter, which he's admitted to, I think it's a good game plan. And I think he's improved his chipping and pitching. I think he's worked hard on that. And I think now with this attitude where he's going to play more conservative, well, we might see him win coming Sunday afternoon.
No doubt, especially with, you know, the results of his last two major championships, and Hovland goes into the weekend at plus 400 odds. But you know, so you have your favorites up there. You have Morikawa, you have Dustin Johnson. But I'm interested to see how these two Englishmen do that are at the top of the leaderboard. One you know very well, Justin Rose. You know, he's putting on a great performance, 69-70, 1-under heading to the weekend. And then a little bit more of an unknown guy, Callum Tarran, 71-67, off to a great start. He has played horribly this year. His resume going into this week looks a lot like Shawn Michaels in 2003. You know, they're very comparable, and I mean the odds speak for themselves. Callum Tarran, 90-1 going into the weekend, and he's only three shots back. You know, you look back a year ago, Justin Thomas was seven shots back going into the final round on Sunday. And Charlie, we talked about this last night. You know, Brandel Chamblee was on Golf Channel saying that he pointed out that the winner at Oak Hill in a major championship has never come outside of third place after 36 holes. With how the weather's going to be today, it's going to rain, it's going to get soft tomorrow. I don't see that being the case. I still think guys like, you know, around one under, Justin Rose, even guys at even par, Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson's a one over, Patrick Cantlay's a one over. Some of those guys are still in this golf tournament, in my opinion.
Everybody is exactly right. The golf tournament starts on the weekend. It's going to start, the conditions right now are really horrible. So somebody's going to come out of the pack with a great round. That just happens over, you know, you got 50 guys that are so good, somebody can shoot a 62, 63, and then we'll have a different day on Sunday. But I like this weekend. Justin Rose is a great guy. It'd be great for him to win. Bruce Koepka, I mean, it's a great leaderboard.
Charlie, I wanted to – Adam Scott shot 68 in round one, then 74 yesterday, but he had a share for the lead at one point on Thursday. I was fired up about that to see Adam Scott and Justin Rose at the top of this leaderboard 1 week after Jason Day, 35-year-old Jason Day, wins. It really feels like a renaissance of some of the older talent on the PGA Tour.
Well, they say the better, you know, Hogan got better when he was 37, 38. You know, golf is that kind of game, and it allows you as good a shape as these guys are in. The old timers can win, and 37 years is not too old.
Yeah, Brooks Koepka was asked if he felt like he was past his prime, and he said, yeah, "I'm in my early 30s, and the prime in golf is between 30 and 40." So, you know, he debunked that one. Charlie, if you had one player to pick going into the weekend of the PGA Championship, who's the player you think gets it done on Sunday?
Well, I'm going to go with Victor Hovland. He's won a major. He won the U.S. Amateur. He's shown he could play. He's learned his lessons, and he's got a better game plan and a lot of quality shots, and he's a good putter.
All right, you've got Hovland. I'll take Koepka, who's three back. We'll see you next week on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.